You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The New World's Order, Cities. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Hey, buddy, don't bother me. Who do you think you are, anyway? Anyone ever tell you that? Anyone ever make you feel that you're not very important? The big city can make you feel unimportant. The city can make you feel that no one would even notice if you suddenly disappeared. Get that car out of here, the cop shouts. Don't you know where you're going? Where in the world am I supposed to go? City streets aren't user-friendly. Pardon me, what did you say? Hey, can't you understand English? Actually, I can understand English. Most of you city people aren't speaking English anymore, or the English I grew up with. You want to be waited on? Take a number and wait over there like everybody else. So, you take a number, and while you're waiting, you think how nice it must be out in the boonies where people know your name. I've lived here my whole life. I've always liked this neighborhood, but now the city's changed. I'm old, and I'm afraid. How many elderly people have been trapped in neighborhoods where gangs rule? You did what? You know how bad that neighborhood is? How stupid can you be, going right into the middle of all those... And then a few choice words to describe those people who are different from us. It's like the hundreds of thousands, the millions of people in the city are one big neon sign that says, "Hey, you, don't bother me, you're not very important." Oh, you'll learn to get along in the city. You learn the transit system. You learn not to trust anyone, except your mother, maybe. You learn how to push and shove for a taxi or whatever you want. You get used to being impersonal. Those aren't people you see in the city. They're obstacles in your way. Some learn how to cheat the system, how to lie, steal, get the drugs. Most learn how to make it in a legal way, the job, the family, and all of that. Yes, you learn how to make your way in the city. Through all the struggle of city living, there's still that neon sign. When things go okay, you may forget it. But when something goes wrong, when you've been shafted, when you've been chewed out, when the hustle and bustle of the city beats you down, then that sign seems to shine brightly in your head. The sign that says, "Hey, you! No matter how you look on the outside, you know you're not very important." That's what the city tells you. But God says, you are important. Out of the millions of people in the city, God says specifically to you, you're important. How you appear to others on the streets of the city doesn't mean a thing to God. The thousands of people you pass by every day may look at you and see a business person. They may see a city worker. They may see a homeless beggar. They may see a drunk. They may look at you and see an Afro-American, an Asian-American, a Hispanic, whatever. Most importantly, they'll probably see you as an unimportant part of the city scene. Hey, buddy, get out of my way. But God doesn't stereotype you the way people do. God sees you. And he calls you to himself as someone special. You're no bother to God. He calls to you and wants you to have his good things. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to urban life. He once wrote a letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth and said this, "For you see what happened, fellow Christians, when God called you. Not many of you are wise from a human point of view. Not many are in positions of power. Not many are born of noble parents. But God chose the foolish things in the world to put those who are wise to shame. God chose the weak things in the world to put those who are strong to shame. God chose the lowly things in the world, that which it despises, that which is nothing, to do away with that which is something, in order to keep anyone from boasting before God. Isn't this great? That imaginary neon sign that flashes, "You are unimportant in this big city," is replaced by this word of God that says, "I call you to be my own." God calls each to be his own. There's not a single person in the city, wise, rich, and powerful, or lowly, homeless, and weak, who is not called by God to be his. A few years ago, I was near New York City. I met a Japanese businessman who told me about a group that he's in. This group is made up of real estate men from Japan who have their offices in Manhattan. These are rich, powerful people who get together every week for Bible study and prayer. They know that their true identity is in God and His calling them to Himself. Their true identity is less how they appear to the eyes of the world. Last Sunday, I had the honor of preaching in Washington, D.C. for the United States Navy. I spoke about Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength." What an impression it made on me to see people of the powerful United States Navy bow their heads before God. Many of them also know that their true identity is not the military power they represent, as important as that is. They know that their true identity is in God who calls them. These people are among the wise and influential people of the world. But as Paul told the Corinthians, God calls all, and that includes the weak and lowly. I'll never forget the detoxification center at the State Hospital in St. Louis. During my days as a seminary student, I attended a class that met at the detox center. There we met and talked with alcoholics. One man, whom I can still see in my mind, told me about the career he had had in broadcasting. He told me about his money, his family, and he told me that it all went down the drain because of alcohol. He was one of the unfortunates of city life. But God's call to the down and out is as loud and clear as his call to the rich and powerful. God calls us all to see that our true identity is in Him and not in the way the world sees us. God calls you in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul told the city dwellers of Corinth, now I'm continuing the quotation from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "God chose the lowly things in the world, that which it despises, that which is nothing, to do away with that which is something, in order to keep anyone from boasting before God. He gave you your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and ransom from sin, so that it might be as it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" Whereas the city has this invisible neon sign that tells you, "Hey buddy, who do you think you are?" God's sign to you is the cross of His Son, Jesus. That cross represents the good things God calls you to in His Son, Jesus Christ. The cross, which you can see in so many places in the city, invites you to God's wisdom in Jesus. You have to be street smart to make it in the city. Street smarts are helpful, there's no doubt about that. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. If you want to really know what's happening, if you want to know the future, and if you want to be excited about what's coming, come to God's wisdom in Jesus. The cross you see so often in the city is the cross of Jesus, whom Paul says is our righteousness. God is a straight arrow. God doesn't bend the rules. He doesn't wink at those who do. God can shout out to the whole city, "Who do you think you are? Where do you get off acting as if there is no judgment against sin?" Whether you're the CEO of a company who gets limo service to your corporate high-rise, or you're the homeless guy sitting on the curb, God calls you to find real righteousness in Jesus Christ. Jesus is what you aren't. He's God's perfect man. Come to Him. Hide yourself in Him. The cross invites you to the power for holy living. Paul says Jesus Christ is also your holiness. The word holy means something that is really different, something totally unlike the things of this world. Jesus Christ is holy. He's God, perfect, sinless. Not of this world, He came into the world so that you could be holy in Him. St. Peter says, as the one who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your ways. God calls you to be someone different from so many others in the city. He calls you to be a different, a special person. That holiness comes to you in Jesus Christ. Finally, Paul told the Corinthians, and he tells us, that Jesus Christ is our ransom from sin. If there is anything that characterizes a city, it's sin. Sin is wherever people are, rural areas too. But when you have hundreds of thousands, millions of sinners together in one place, the possibilities for sin are endless. People in the city hurt one another. It may be the homicides. It may be white-collar crime. It may be the crude, unfeeling way people talk to one another. Those are not the ways that God wants us to deal with one another. Those are sins. Jesus Christ, the wisdom, the righteousness, and the holiness of God, went to the cross, died and rose again so that you are forgiven for what you have done wrong. Only a fool, confident of his own self, will refuse to run to the cross of Jesus and receive that forgiveness of God. Only a fool will refuse the call of God. Unfortunately, the city is loaded with fools. The whole world is. The world's population is rushing toward 7 billion people. Experts say that we're rapidly approaching the time when the majority of the world's people will be found in cities. For example, right now more than half of the 250 million people in the United States live in 44 cities, and 74% of Americans now live in urban areas. New York City has some 8 million people. Do you think that's a lot? Mexico City has 22 million. And experts predict that by the year 2010, the population of Mexico City will be 32 million people. Multiplying millions of people are being told by the harsh realities of city life that they're unimportant, not worth anybody's bother. That's not true. God calls them to good things in Christ Jesus. That's why you and I, who have been called to the blessings of the cross, should make the cities of the world our number one mission priority. Instead of fleeing to the burbs and boonies and letting the cities go to hell, God wants us, wherever we happen to live, to issue His call of wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and forgiveness in Christ Jesus to those who live in the cities. We Christians need to make the cities of the world our mission priority. This October is a month of anniversaries. We're hearing much about Columbus and his voyage to this so-called New World, but there's another anniversary, lesser known but also significant. 1992 is the 250th anniversary of Henry Melchior Muhlenberg's coming to America. In 1742, Muhlenberg, a young Lutheran pastor, came to serve 3 congregations in the Philadelphia area. For 45 years, he extended the call of God in Jesus Christ to areas that today are part of that great megalopolis extending from Boston in the north to D.C. in the south. Melchior kept a journal of his life. The accounts are fascinating, ranging from the Revolutionary War to the financial difficulties of his retirement years. Melchior's entry for September the 24th, 1763, says, At home, I found Mr. Jacobi of Germantown, who brought news concerning the church's lawsuit. He reported that the matter is to be settled by the Supreme Court next Thursday. Oh, help me, gracious God! How such affairs, which have to do only with the outer fences around the untilled vineyard, oppress me. The fences Muhlenberg speaks about are the outward things of life, the externals, the things the world so highly prizes, the things that make cities tick. The untilled vineyard Muhlenberg speaks about is the spiritual life, the wisdom, the righteousness, the holiness, and forgiveness of God in Christ, which the world did not esteem in colonial days, and which so many in the great cities do not know about today. 250 years ago, Henry Melchior Muhlenberg left the comforts of his native land to bring the cross of Jesus to the new world. Today, you and I need to make our own sacrifices to bring that same comforting cross to the millions who struggle in the cities of this world. The world is still awed by the outer things, the external things, the things that matter not before God. Today, the vineyard is still so untilled, so much untended. Just before his ascension, Jesus told the disciples, "You will receive power and will testify of me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the farthest parts of the world." Jesus sent them first to the city of Jerusalem. Can we resolve to take the gospel to the cities today? Can you confront the world's wisdom with the wisdom of Christ? Can we punch holes in the self-righteousness of this world and summon more people to the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ? Can you help call the people of the city to holy living rather than the easy way of sin? Can we go to the city and say, "You are important. God has bothered with you. He sent Jesus to save you." If we can bring Christ to the nations, we must bring Christ to the cities. Amen.
Hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.